Welcome to the Up to the Challenge podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Azisu back again, E-Society podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. And this is Up to the Challenge. But before I go any further, it's the Nez.
Yes, yes, you're now rocking with the best E-Society podcast. Coming live and direct from the great state of California. F all the haters. But
yeah.
It's cold where yeah. both of us are.
yeah.
Zisu's along the coast, and I'm sure it's colder there. But I forgot I was going to tell you something. I forgot all about it. Oh, before we dive into this, the virtual con thing, because I know we talked a little bit about it
right
on our last anchor. How did you do?
Oh yeah, pretty good. I didn't win the lottery, so they let lottery winners pick and choose in two sessions on Wednesday, and then Thursday the leftovers went to the public. So it was pretty picked over, but getting on the Funko shop at 6 a.m. this morning. I was actually shocked to see how little was left over. But as far as what I was able to add to the cart, Kim Pine in her end of movie Scott Pilgrim outfit, I added that. The Thundar 3-pack and then the Sonics mascot. And then while waiting in line to check out, the Kim Pine sold out. So I was only able to get the Sonics mascot and the Thundar. But glad to get that. I was a little freaked out for a minute because Amazon put up everything but the WandaVision 2-pack, which is really a must-have for me. And I like fell asleep back for a little, and I like put the phone right near my pillow so I could hear if like a notification came through if it went up. And then when I went to check on it, yeah, it was saying that it was like sold out, currently unavailable, we don't know if it's gonna be back. And I was like, oh my god, we're probably gonna have to pay like double for this, like 50. But thankfully it went up like another 15 minutes after that, so I was able to secure that. So that was cool. But I always like to get out and about for these releases. And the local Target, they had a art series Yoda. He's all green. That being said, you know, I got to have it. Star Wars collector, try to get as much of it as I can as far as these releases. But this really wasn't that special of a release. The box was cool. It's all green. But as far as Yoda, yeah, he's all green, but he's mostly all green anyway. So the only difference on this one is like his robes, which would normally be brown. They're also green. So, I mean, that's that. But FYE checked in with them. And they didn't have V yet, but they did still have last year's Emerald City Comic-Con exclusive, the Triclops. So the fact they still had that made me think that getting V shouldn't be a problem when it arrives. So that'll be good. And then went next door to Hot Topic, got the Caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland. That was kind of impulse buy. I had no plans to get it, but then I saw it there, so I picked it up. And then the Todd Ingram from Scott Pilgrim, they had the soda of him, so I got that. And then checked in at GameStop. They indeed didn't get their exclusives, but you could pre-order them, so I had to put the pre-order in for the Morbius. So all in all, you know, it did pretty good. Can't complain too much. As far as what I missed, Treasure Skeleton from the Pirates of the Caribbean, didn't get a shot at that, or the Gummy Bears Ogre, no shot at that. We're still waiting as of right now, as of us recording this. Everybody's launched their exclusives except for Walgreens still hasn't released online the Spider-Man 2099, so... I got fellow collectors I follow on Instagram, and they're all making like memes about it. They got the Simpsons one where Homer is like asleep at the nuclear reactor, and it's like everybody's released their like Walgreens headquarters. Everybody's released their exclusives except for us.
I saw the release date one, and it said 2099.
Yeah,
for that one, but
Exactly.
Other than Diana from V, I want the Spidey.
Right.
Who was doing the Thundar ones? Were those
Only the Funko Shop? So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess those are gone. Was that one box or was it three separate ones?
Three separate ones, but you had to get them all.
Oh, you could just get one?
You couldn't just get one. Yeah. So that was the catch on that one for sure.
They should have just put all three in one box.
Yeah, yeah. I get it, though, because I could totally, you know, no disrespect to her, but I could totally see people getting Thundar and the villain, but not the princess.
I just want a Thundar and Ookla.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I could
care less about the girl.
Yeah, if they didn't sell it that way, I could see her just sitting, you know. So
she would have been the last one on the shelves if we were at a con.
For sure. Yep.
So
exactly. Speaking of, you think we're almost for suredly that Emerald City's gonna happen next year. Think we'll make it to Emerald City next year?
I want to. I mean, ever since I've been to twice. One when Eric and Renee and I, well, Eric wants to go again, so
cool.
It'll probably be all of us. But yeah, man, as soon as we're able to go, especially up there, I mean, it gives us more incentive to go to headquarters and hang out with Darren again.
Yep.
But yeah, man, I'm dying to go to a con.
Oh, I know.
We had mentioned Texas Frightmare. It's right now it's a go, and it looks like it's going to be a full go because Texas
free too.
Yeah, I'm still wearing mine. Well, I got my awesome hockey mask, so
right.
I'm going to wear that. I'm wearing that regardless. Like
cosplay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wearing that regardless, but yeah. I'm sure there will still be some out of state people that wear masks at this.
The con, no doubt. So, no doubt. You've been before, right?
Yeah.
Do they keep it pretty air conditioned?
No, it's hot in there.
Okay, I was gonna say you could bring like you could bring like almost like full costume, but you probably wouldn't want to bear the heat.
Oh no, man! I see those guys walking around in those the cosplay, especially the guys that play that are Jason, because they go full out. They don't just throw on rugged clothes and put on a hockey mask. They got the full headpiece and everything. And
yep,
I'm sure they're just sweating under there. I see guys. I've seen guys outside cooling off. I'm like, man. I mean, I give it to them. I love seeing all the cosplay, but
yep.
Who knows?
Stormtroopers, they got it perfect. That I've seen multiple guys. They build fans right into their outfit. Multiple fans in the helmet, in all the armor and everything. So they got it hooked up.
I'd rather be one of those guys walking around in those big blow up suits, because there's a built in fan in that.
Right.
But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm going. I should.
When is that again?
September.
Oh, okay. Plenty of time.
Yeah, so hopefully. I'm hoping that Texas doesn't fall apart before then. So we'll see. But, I mean, all our listeners down in Texas, man, I mean, you guys rock. I love seeing you guys when I go down to Texas Frightmare. Always a good time when I go to that convention, as well as the Dallas Pop Expo, I think that's what it was called. I can't looking at my here it is, my badges that are here on the wall. The doesn't say. I think it was Dallas Pop Expo or Dallas something, whatever, but that was a fun con. I was hoping that they do it on that same weekend like they did. Go downtown Dallas, hit that at the convention center, and then drive all the way back to Fort Worth to the airport where Texas Frightmare goes on.
Nice.
I love it where it's at, but it's getting to be
too big.
A big thing now.
Right.
And it's just the I've gone what? 4 years? Four times in a row, and it was cool the first time. There was people there, but not too many. The second year it was like a ton, and then the last 2 years I went, it was like a ton every single day.
Wow.
Because like on Friday it was like get there and there was hardly anyone there. You can just roam free and get what you want. But nah, this last couple times it was jam-packed Friday and every single day. So, and it's at the lower level of this hotel, and it's just,
that's cons just, for you now, huh?
It's just too many people in there. I mean, that was before anything was going on.
Yeah, that's before.
So, but I don't know if they're going to cap it to not have that many people in there. I don't know. I'm reading the stuff that they tweet, or I go on the website and everything still seems like just wear a mask. I mean, well, since Texas stopped it, I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping that a lot of people get vaccinated, because I am watching the news and they're saying that it is helping. It's not going to stop it, but it's
right.
It's helping
for sure.
And I know there's some people that don't think so, but it is. It's kind of putting a little notch in it to where.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see.
I did a search after we talked last time about you were saying that Walgreens might be doing it. And I checked and they had a little thing locally. And I did have to enter the county, and that could make a difference being in Humboldt and whatnot. But when I put in all the info and my age and everything like that, they were like, nope, not your turn yet. Check back. So. Not yet for me.
You should have. Did you mark you were an essential worker?
Oh, no.
I'll do that. You'll get it.
Is that that's the trick, huh?
I'm technically an essential worker. So
yeah. They told us back when this first was kicking off that we were, but then like the very next day we like shut down. It was funny. I was just talking to Jade about this. We were watching this documentary, and like it ran into the time period right when everything shut down last year. And I've said this multiple times, but yeah, it was like Wednesday night was when Rudy Gobert got the positive test and the NBA shut down. Thursday, I went to work. It was truck day. And they said, we're staying open. We're an essential business. I came into work Friday, and before my shift ended that morning, like 5 to 9, they were like, nope, we're not even opening today, and we don't know when we're opening back up. So, so much for being essential.
Yeah, I've been working that whole time. So,
there was
no stopping us.
Yeah, we're back now and no sign of closing, obviously. Once they reopen, they never shut again.
Nah, I think we're going to slowly get back to somewhat normal.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. Definitely. We'll see. Hopefully everything will be better than today is by the time Spider-Man 3 comes out. So
yeah, we'll exactly. See. I'm not even going to talk about what the documentary is, but the documentary I watched, it was so weird. It was like, March 3rd or something, 2020. And they're still like going on, like things are normal. And I was like, oh my God, like that's crazy to see. Like they're about to run into like, you know, everything shut down. It was crazy. Like how everything was normal. And then it wasn't.
When did it was March when it just
mid-March,
really
yeah.
fell apart, right? So we're coming on a year now.
Yep.
And I said it from the beginning. I said this is going to go if not years.
You did call it, cuz I remember thinking, "Nah, we'll be back in like a month at the most." At the most, I was thinking like a month.
Nah, I mean, I've said this before. All you horror movie watchers, we knew it was going to be a lot longer. I mean, those horror movies and everything have been preparing us for all this.
So. Right.
But anyway, that's enough talk about all that.
Okay.
14 minutes is enough. Yeah. So, but up to the challenge.
Challenge!
Episode... I didn't even write it on the last one. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But yeah. Episode whatever.
It'll be in the description.
Yeah. The Zisu challenged me to One Night in Miami. Yes. It's a film that came out February 25th. December 25th last year on Christmas. I was too busy watching the hell was that show? That movie? Wonder Woman, 1984. But anyway, on the night of February 25th, 1964, in Miami, Cassius Clay joins Jim Brown, Sam Cooke, and Malcolm X, and they discuss the responsibility of being successful black men during the civil rights movement. That is Google. Let me see what IMDb says. A fictional account of one incredible night where icons Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, and Jim Brown gathered discussing their roles in the civil rights movement and the cultural upheaval of the 60s. This is directed by Academy Award winner Regina King, and this stars Kingsley Ben Adir as Malcolm X, Eli Gorey as Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali, Aldis Hodge as Jim Brown, and Leslie Odom Jr. as Sam Cooke. And then there's a bunch of other people in this. I want to say the real Jim Brown was in this, but I could be wrong. I mean, I watched this.
Oh, was he?
I think. I mean, I could
I wouldn't
be wrong.
Surprised, but yeah, I didn't catch him.
I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong unless I'm looking at something totally different. Because on Google, when you see the cast, there's the actual Jim Brown is pictured.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm looking on IMDb right now to see if he is in the cast, and I don't see him. Yeah, it just must be something on Google because I don't see him.
Okay.
On here, but if I Google his name, it'll come up on IMDb. Jim Brown. I mainly liked him in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yeah, love that.
He was one of whatchamacallit's Slade's men, and he was also Fireball in The Running Man. I think that deserves the rewind treatment.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, we did Total Recall, and yeah, we were still lost on that one. Okay, he is not in this film. I think it was just something last thing he did was in 2010. But all right, One Night in Miami. I had no idea what this movie was about, and then I didn't even know that this happened. So I didn't watch the trailer. I mean, I knew. I think the only thing I really knew about this was Malcolm X, because I remember seeing something like maybe a thumbnail, just cruising to find something to watch on Amazon. But the Zisu watched it. He did cover it on the regular show.
Yep.
And I watched it. First of all, don't be tired watching this film,
right?
Because it pretty much just takes place in this motel. And then there's other scenes of Ali at his boxing matches, Sam Cooke doing a show, Malcolm X during some of his speeches, and what's his name, Jim Brown, talking about his football career and everything. I really loved everybody in it. I think the only one I knew out of the four was Aldis Hodge. I had seen him in other things. But I think out of these four, the character that I liked the most was Malcolm X, Kingsley Ben Adir. I thought he was a really strong character in this. I thought he did a really good job being Malcolm X. I mean, of course, I'm going to go to Denzel. I loved the Spike Lee movie. That movie was amazing. But this, yeah, this had a lot to do. I mean, there was times where it was making me mad because it was dealing with the civil rights movement and how black people were treated back then. And it was still going on. It didn't matter if you were famous or not. If you were black, you were still sitting in the back of the bus, still sitting and drinking from the black only fountains. And you could only stay at the black hotels or motels. It was still during that. I think it was more towards the end of all that before everyone had equal rights to some degree. I mean, it's 2021 and I still don't think everyone has equal rights, but that's my opinion, everyone. But I just loved what was going on. I mean, this movie, it was dialogue heavy.
No doubt.
It wasn't like there was action and everything in it. It was just a lot of talking. And that's why it really based on their performances as each character. I mean, even the guy that played Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, Eli Gorey. I don't know what he did to prepare for this role, but I'm sure he watched a lot of old Muhammad Ali videos to get the speech down, the way he talked, how he presented himself, his everything. So I thought he did a really good job. Jim Brown, I knew he was a football player, and Hammer, I believe, from I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, and Sam Cooke. I just know the music of Sam Cooke. I never really knew their backstories, and this was just one little story of them, of this one night in Miami. It was kind of right before Cassius Clay became Muhammad Ali, before he became a Muslim and a part of the Nation of Islam before that. And this was when Malcolm X was, seemed like he was right before he left the Nation of Islam, because there was some differences. He didn't see eye to eye with Elijah Muhammad and the movement of what they were trying to do. Watch Malcolm X or read those books. That this story is all over the place on that. But I can see why Malcolm left. I mean, I can see why. But he was really trying. I know he was talking to all. He was being himself. He was just being hanging out with his buddies. But then there's that side to where he was like, don't trust everybody. I mean, they love you for who you are. They love you about. They love because you're a boxer. They love because you win football games, and they love that you can write and perform awesome songs. But he was telling them, don't lose. This is what I got from it. Kind of don't forget who you are, and don't forget where you came from, and don't forget how they look at you and how they treat you. I mean, and it was weird because there was that one scene when Jim Brown goes to see was it Beau Bridges, and it seemed like they had this really good friendship.
That was like, that shocked me. That like blew me away. Like, I wasn't ready for that.
I wasn't either. I mean, because Beau Bridges, man, he's an awesome actor. He played Mr. Carlton. I don't know if he was either just a friend or a former coach. I can't remember. But Jim Brown was like, yeah, hey, man, what's up? And he's like, he welcomed, hey, man, this is awesome. You can come hang out with me at my house. And then they were sitting out on the porch, and they had this big conversation, and it made it seem like they were just buddy buddy and everything was all good. But then Mr. Carlton, well, I'm going to go inside. And then Jim Brown kind of got him, and he was like, well, wait a minute, you know, you can't go in the house. And I was like, God damn. I mean, that's how it was back then. I mean, black people weren't allowed in white people's houses. And I was like, fuck, man. I mean, that's, To me, I don't think I could have grew up in that time. It would have been just, I'd probably be more mad than I am now. But I mean, but that's how it was. Friends, parents that told me this, parents telling me this is how we were treated as Black people. My relatives, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles and everything, and even my parents on how they were treated as Native Americans, from being in the res, then living in the city, and how they were treated in the big cities for being Native American, for being the stereotypical, oh, you're a savage and you're Indian and this. And we're not even really Indians. We're not from India.
Right.
But I mean, just this, the stuff like that. I mean, everyone survived it. And it was a struggle. Not everybody survived. I mean, we lost a lot of people during this time because of the racism and everything that was going on in this country. So I watched this film, and the stuff that Malcolm X was saying, it made me, all right, cool. It got me proud at times, but when reality kicks in to the time of that was going on in this, in America, and I was in the '60s, I was like, God damn. I mean, these people in 1964, these people went through a lot. Man, I don't know how to say it, but overall the film was amazing. I did not know Regina King directed this until it was over. And I love Regina King.
Yeah,
I loved
awesome.
Her since the 2 days. The movie she's done with the great and late John Singleton, and everything she's done in between that. Even popping up on Big Bang Theory. She was in the last few seasons. It was good to see her there. Or anything she pops up in. I mean, I just love Regina King. So I was just like, wow, that was a shocker for me. I didn't know she was directing. And I thought, if this was her first film, which I don't know, I guess I can click on it and see. But I thought she did an amazing job. I mean, she's been in the business since she was a kid. So, I mean, just being in front of the camera from as a young age to however old she is now. She's the same age as me. So she's 49. So, damn, I mean, it's just, she's been, she knows it. She knows the business. So for her to be behind the camera to direct, I'm still trying to see if this was her. Oh, shit, she's got 15 credits as a director. I have a couple documentaries, some TV.
Who knew?
a lot of TV. She did a lot of TV series. And I think this was her. She's done a TV movie. So this is her second movie. Her third. She's done Let the Church Say Amen. It was a TV movie back in 2013, and then a bunch of TV series, as well as acting along the way. I was introduced to her, like I said, from the TV show that was in the '80s, mid '80s, 227, and she was a young girl. She was 14 then, and then she's just boom, 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 boom. Her movie career just climbed, and she won an Academy Award for, I think it was If Beale Street Could Talk. She was on, like I said, she was on Big Bang Theory from 2013 to 2019. And then she popped up in The Watchmen, which I still need to finish.
Really good.
So
highly recommend.
But I loved just about everything that I've seen her in. And I was happy that when she won her Academy Award, she definitely deserved it. Not sure. I think she was nominated for Golden Globe for director. I'm pretty sure, because I remember seeing her picture when they were when they were saying all the nominees. And I can't remember the Asian lady that won for something I never really heard of. But I do want to watch, because I'm sure, pretty sure it's going to be up for Best Picture for Academy Award. But if Regina King gets nominated for Best Directed for the Oscars. I'm going to root for her, and I do hope she walks away with another one. But they awarded her for acting. Now they can award her for her directing, because I thought she did an amazing job with this film. I mean, again, it mainly takes place inside of a motel room, but then there's other things that are on the outside. But did they build this room on a set so they can have the room? Because I don't think you could do this if it was a real inside of a real room of a motel.
Right.
But
yeah. And there's only a few of those, the outside shots. So you could get those all at once.
Yeah. So, but this was a really good movie. Hour and 54 minutes. I remember when I was starting it going, man, this is almost 2 hours. Again, I didn't know what it was going to be about. So I was kind of like, ugh. But sitting there watching it, I really got sucked into the story and what was going on and what was being said. So that hour and 54 minutes flew by like that.
Nice.
So definitely, I think this is an awesome film. Would it have made my best of 2020? Probably not.
honorable mention.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But overall, this is something I think people should watch, because it was a story that I did not know. And I didn't even know. Well, I knew Malcolm X knew Muhammad Ali. I knew that. But the Sam Cooke and Jim Brown story, and of them all four, these gentlemen being friends, I didn't know that. So this was something new, a new story that I watched, and I really loved what was happening in it. I will definitely watch this again. Again, don't be tired and watch this,
yeah,
because it's just dialogue heavy. So you really got to sit there and listen and pay attention, because action and explosions and all that usually keeps you awake, but there's none of that in this. But all four of these guys did an amazing and powerful performances. Again, I'm going to lean towards the gentleman that played Malcolm X, Kingsley Benadir. I thought he did an amazing job as Malcolm X. And I'm glad that I watched this film, and I'm really glad that the Zsu here challenged me to it, because I eventually would have watched it, but not...
Gave you a reason.
Yeah, it gave me more of a reason to go, okay, I better sit down and watch this so I can talk about it. But it's a really good film. It's a really good story. Is all of it true?
No.
I don't know.
No. It's like inspired by the fact they spent that time together. But as far as like the conversations that went down, I'm sure like some of it, but it, obviously it's like, it's not exact.
Yeah, because right here it says a fictional account of one incredible night where icons met. So, but I don't know. I mean, again, if it was all actual factuals and everything, cool, right on. But obviously they always gotta add some things to keep the story along. I mean, they do that with every true story. So, but again, this is it's an Amazon original. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it whenever. And it was certified fresh. Well, it says here on IMDb, it got a 7.2 out of 10. I'd probably give it probably an 8.5. I mean, I really loved it. That's high for me for a drama. So,
yeah,
but this is definitely something I think you guys should all check out if you have any interest in the story of these four characters. So, but One Night in Miami, it's definitely worth your time, and I really loved it, man. Thanks for challenging me to watch this. Awesome.
Yeah, glad to do it. All right. Shall we get into my challenge?
Yep, hit it.
All right. Going to 2020 also, and The Invisible Man. Man, I don't even know if I should read this synopsis, because it's like kind of a big plot point right there. But
they should have seen this already.
I guess we'll be covering the whole thing.
Almost a year old.
You're right. Okay. Well, spoiler alert. And this is right in the IMDb description. When Celia's abusive ex takes his own life and leaves her his fortune, she suspects his death was a hoax. As a series of coincidences turn lethal, Cecilia works to prove that she's being hunted by someone nobody can see. This stars Elizabeth Moss as Cecilia, Oliver Jackson Cohen, Harriet Dyer, and Aldous Hodge, directed by Lee Whannell. And this was in theaters February 28th. So it went down right before the whole shutdown, which was interesting. I remember you did get out to see this in theaters, right?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater because I had to cough at one time. And I had
that's right.
I had to muffle because some dude coughed and everybody looked. So I had to muffle my cough because I was eating popcorn and just shoved too much in my mouth. So I was like, man, yeah, this was right, pretty much right before the world fell apart. But yeah. I tell you, yeah, it made my top 10, everyone. I thought this movie was awesome.
Yeah, it was interesting in how it came out right before everything shut down. And I remember hearing your review about it on the pod, and I had all the intentions of going to see it. But then, yeah, the theater shut down and everything. I remember seeing The Way Back right at the start of March. And then we saw Onward was, I think, the last movie that came out a Friday. And then... yeah, the very next week, that's when everything shut down. So the very next Friday, theaters were closed. So, but yeah, anyways, back to Invisible Man, which I didn't get a chance to see in the theater and had to wait for it to come here on streaming. And it is streaming still on HBO. But yeah, I was glad to finally get to see it. And I'm glad it was a challenge. I think it was a really good challenge, and I think it was definitely worthy of you challenging me to it. The one thing I do want to jump in before we get to talk about the exact movie is the fact that this actually, for a while, was meant to be part of the like Universal Movie Monsters kind of series, kind of following Tom Cruise's The Mummy.
No, this is the beginning of the new one. That Dark Universe ended and started with The Mummy.
Right.
This is the kickoff of their new one.
Oh, so this does? Yeah, this is part of it?
This is the first one.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say to you, I was going to be like, well, I don't know, because it didn't seem to connect at all, obviously, to The Mummy.
No, so, they started over.
Okay, there's that. But yeah, no, I thought it was great performances. It was interesting to see that it was Bay Area set. We can get into full spoilers, but I'll dance around it just to begin with. I will say there's a scene in a restaurant that's completely unexpected and stunning. And I watched this with Jade, and she was just as taken aback too. She was stunned. She was like, oh my god, like what just happened, like what is this? And it helped like my viewing for Jade to have that response, because it was almost mirroring the response on the in the movie. So it was like it made it so much more like reactionary. Do you remember if there was a reaction in the theater to that moment I'm talking about?
Everybody screamed. That was my favorite part in the whole movie.
Okay. Yeah. And eventually it kind of turns into a little bit of the resolution, really, too. So it sets up neatly the way this thing's going to it gets resolved. It's like fitting that way. So I appreciate it for that in the end. At first I was like, oh, god. Yeah, it's just gruesome. But it ended up like, you know, paying off that way. So I can appreciate it more once the film is complete.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting much
from
this, because when I was reading before the film came out that this was the beginning of their new Universal Monster series, I was like, really? You're going to start with the Invisible Man? I'm like, all right. So, I mean, I love What's-Her-Nuts, Elizabeth Moss. I mean, she's been just getting roll and roll after roll. I really loved her in the fuck's that TV series?
Mad Men.
No.
Well, she's great in Mad Men.
I tried that. I couldn't do it. Handmaid's Tale. I loved her in that. That's probably the most I've seen her in, other than the movie she pops up in. But so I was kind of like, okay, let me just sit down and watch this. I saw this pretty much that's not opening night. So I was like, all right, okay, cool. I was like, all right, whatever. Let me just sit through this so I can talk about it on the show.
Right.
I wasn't expecting much, because I knew it wasn't going to be a action adventure extravaganza. I mean, like The Mummy was. So I was like, okay, Lee Whannell, I have total faith in him. He writes good stories, and everything that he's been a part of has been good. So I'm like, all right, cool. Let me see his take on The Invisible Man. Because if you do watch the original one,
yeah,
I can appreciate that for what it is. But man, it's a really, really slow burn.
Sure.
And quite boring. But it's here on my collection, because I have all the Universal Monster stuff. Is The Invisible Man a monster? Is it a horror movie? No and no.
He gets his pass from, like, they include him in all, like, the figure sets and all the posters and stuff like that. But I get what you mean, that he actually doesn't match up with, like, Frankenstein and Dracula and Creature.
Yeah, so I mean, I love the character for what it is. They've made a ton of movies being guys being invisible. They made a ton of those movies.
What was that one in the 90s? Kevin Bacon, right?
Hollow Man. That one was awesome. Yeah. But so I'm like, okay, it's 2020. Let's see what Lee Whannell can do with this one. Sat down, watched it. Movie was over. I was like, fuck, that movie was awesome. It lasted all the rest of the year. This was the beginning of the year. Usually movies that hit us in the beginning, they fall out by the time we get. But this movie stayed in there I knew it was going to stay in that whole time, because I didn't think anything was going to knock it out. At one point, I think it was number one. And then I started seeing movie after movie. And then I think it got to the midway point on my list. But I thought this movie was amazing. I loved it. Elizabeth Moss, she did an awesome performance. I'll give it to her, mainly because there was times where she had to act like somebody was in the room. And that's hard. I mean, especially for her story in the film, Lee trying to escape an abusive, I don't know if it was her husband, but I think it was her husband. Was it her boyfriend?
Yeah. It was just boyfriend. That was it. And she really does carry it. And that's what makes it so interesting. The movie's called The Invisible Man, but he's nowhere near to the main character. This isn't about, you know, a guy in the lab with the potions and whatnot. Like, it's really like her story. And it's interesting, like right from the beginning, obviously I'm going to step on the beginning here, so spoilers for the beginning. But the whole, like, slowly creeping out of the house, like, I thought it was a great setup from there, because you start the movie on edge, and you're like, you know, already like cheering for her to like get away and make it out of this mansion, you know?
I mean, it wasn't even about the Invisible Man. It was mainly it was about her trying to escape this psychopath. That turned himself invisible.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I thought everything in this was good. When the special effects do kick in, I thought they looked good. The reasoning for him being invisible, I liked that on what he was trying to do. And she didn't know all this was happening. She was just basically, I'm sure he was beating her to stay out of my business and all that. So, but I mean, this is a story to take out the invisible part of it. But this is a story that happens all the time. Of having an abuse, being in an abusive relationship, be it male or female. It can also be a female that's abusive as well. But with this one, but most of the stories we hear are the abusive males in the relationship. So, because when it starts off that way, I'm kind of like, all right, this is not the Invisible Man. So I was like, all right, let me just finish and see what it is. So I liked what they did. They took the idea from the original story, but made it a totally different story, a much, to me, a more believable story on why this lady was trying to escape this asshole. But, I mean, even him, when this guy was on the screen, Oliver Jackson Cohen, I mean, I thought he did a good job, and then everything I'm going to see him in from here on out, I'm going to hate him. Because I know he was abusive to her. But I mean, everybody in this movie was good. And I thought everybody did awesome performances. And like I said, when the effects kick in, I thought they were all awesome. When he is invisible, when things are moving around, when things just happen to appear and you're not really sure. But I think that the scene, other than the scene we mentioned in the restaurant, the scene when she's sitting there, when she was saying that there's something in this room, and she's just looking straight ahead. That was just crazy. I mean, yeah. I'm sure there was something she was focusing on while they were filming it, but to sit there and try to just imagine that somebody's there with you. I thought Elizabeth Moss is awesome. I'm surprised she wasn't nominated for any Golden Globes or anything for her role in this, but I don't know. Well, we'll see where it goes from here with her career. I know she's got probably just tons of things lined up for her. But as far as everybody in this film, I thought she just did an amazing job. And I wish the Golden Globes people should acknowledge that. I mean, not just because I love these type of films and everything, but she's an amazing actress. I really love what she does. And I love the roles that she picks. I mean, because if we can go back to Us, that role, that was a totally different role, which I didn't think she would pull off good. But I mean, her being herself before she became the evil, her evil doppelganger in that film, I thought that was nuts. But this film is amazing. Was it on HBO?
Yeah. It was on HBO, and it's still on HBO. So, yeah, can definitely recommend checking it out there. But I didn't want to forget to mention, I remember when you first mentioned this on the pod all the way back then a year ago, that the fact that they showed the one scene where she's up in the attic and splashes the paint on him, revealing that there is somebody there. I wish they actually hadn't shared that either, because there'd be a fun element to this having gone into it. Like, if you really did wonder if there was anybody, but they just couldn't help themselves, and they they showed that, you know, it is what it is. But I remember, like, how many times you, like, would see that too in the trailers, on TV commercials. They were, like, giving it away right there, you know.
I mean, it'd be different if it was a totally new story that no one's ever told before, but we know. So, I mean,
yeah,
it didn't bother me that they did show that, but
right.
Because in the original one, or even in Hollow Man, it was more of a created potion or something that they drank and became invisible. This one what was totally different. And I liked the change that they made for him to become invisible. And as the film goes on, when she's, I mean, she knows there's something, but everybody else thinking she's just nuts because they don't see anything. But when we finally see what causes, what the hell was his name in it? Adrian Griffin, to see what's making him invisible. I was kind of like, whoa, I thought that was awesome. So it was a good change up on that whole story change of the Invisible Man. So I really loved what they did. Was it just a guy running around in a green suit? I haven't watched the extras yet on the Blu-ray, which I should have by now. But
the suit was cool, though, especially the way it had like the pattern on it. That was cool, especially when it was like being closely inspected and the effect was actually slow. I liked that a lot, like seeing that part of it, like how it worked, you know?
Yeah, I thought all that was cool. That's why I liked the change up from it just being a suit, not being a potion or whatever.
Right. So
I thought that was really cool.
Yep. But yeah, definitely enjoyed it. I'd still definitely on the higher end for me as far as challenges go.
Would it have made your list if you saw it last year?
It might have. It could have snuck in there. The only thing that I think would have kept it is if it's on the bubble for me and I think it's on your list, it won't make mine because I love it when we don't have any matchovers. I didn't think we were going to have any this year, and you surprised me with Extraction. So we both had Extraction, but that was it. So we could have had two.
Yeah, I mean, it would have probably been more on the low end on your list if you did see this then, but
I think you had it at five.
Somewhere right in there. I mean, I knew it was going to be on my list. Nothing was going to knock it off.
Right.
I just knew it wasn't going to be as high as when I first saw it, only because it was the second month of the year. So, and we still had a ton of movies to watch. Again, I only got one list on one movie on my list right now. But
I got a couple. I'm excited.
I only got one. Still waiting for more death and violence to come out.
Right.
I did see a movie today. I'll talk about it more on the regular episode. But
well, just in case, because I don't want to step on the thing. Let's not get into it here. But what's the title?
Wrong Turn.
Okay.
I'll get into it more when we do the regular show. But yeah, that's one that I watched today. Everyone was telling me to watch it, so I did. So I'll get into more of a review on the regular show. But for the last thing for me, for The Invisible Man, I thought this movie was awesome. I mean, I loved every minute of it, and it was a total shocker for me, only because it was a different take on the Invisible Man story. And I think that was the main reason why I loved it. If it was just not so much a play for play for the original one, but I think if it went like that, I don't know if it would have even made my list. I would have saw it anyway. I mean, because it's a part, technically is a part of the Universal Monster stuff. Is he a monster? No. I definitely thought this guy was a monster in this one. Not the classic monsters like Creature or the monster from Frankenstein or even Dracula. But this is definitely an awesome film. And if they make more to this, because I think the next one is The Wolfman. And Lee Whannell's also a part of that. Is he directing? I think he is. I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure he's going to write the story, because I think Lee Whannell writes awesome, good screenplays and awesome stories for his films. My first go around with him was the very first Saw movie, and he helped write that, him and James Wan.
Oh, okay.
And that movie was fucking awesome. I love that film. That's definitely one of my favorite films of all time. But he's got a lot coming up for him.
We're still waiting on Chris Rock.
A little upset he's doing, it's pre-production, it says right here, Escape from New York. I'm like, really?
Hey.
Why are you touching that film? There's nothing wrong with it. It's a masterpiece for what it is. And I'm like, he did write that movie Upgrade, and it says right here it's gonna, he's turning that into a TV series. So cool. I'm all for that. I did it, enjoy the movie. Did you see that movie?
Which one again?
Upgrade.
Oh no, that might be a good.
All right. I need to look for it. I think it's streaming somewhere. But he also directed that. Wolfman, it's in pre-production, doesn't have, well, I guess Ryan Gosling's going to be the Wolfman. All right. He's okay. A good actor. Let me see who's writing this.
He must have been inspired by seeing Invisible Man. He sold.
Yeah. This is Rebecca Angelo Lauren Schuckner Blum. And Lee Whannell are writing the story for the Wolfman. And Lee Whannell's directing it. So, all right, cool. I have faith in him. Will it be as good as the last Wolfman movie? I really enjoyed that one. The one with Benicio del Toro and Anthony Hopkins. Go back and listen to Taylor and I's original remake during our 31 Days of Horror. We did the original Wolfman and that one with Benicio. I thought that was an awesome film. Okay. I mean, I'm sold. I mean, I'm going to see it regardless, even if Lee Whannell wasn't a part of this. But things that I'm hearing and I'm reading, he is going to – I'm not saying he's going to be in charge of this new dark universe or whatever they're calling it now. Sucked that we only got that one movie with Tom Cruise. DeZisio and I liked it. But I know pretty much majority of the people didn't like that Mummy right. movie.
Right.
We might have to do a rewind and watch that again. I think the last time I watched it is when I bought it. So, but yeah, Invisible Man, awesome film. It's streaming on HBO Max or HBO, one of them. Definitely check it out. And that's all I got to say about it.
Yeah. I can highly recommend it too. I'm glad you challenged me to it. It's perfect. Kind of challenge movie, and yeah, loved it. So ready for the next challenge.
All right, I have two movies that made my list for 2020. They're both streaming on Shudder. I'm trying to figure out which one I would want you to watch. They're both bloody and gory.
Uh-oh.
So I'm preparing you for that.
Uh-oh.
One of them is just senseless violence. The other one is kind of sci-fi horror.
Let's go with that one. Because that actually would match up really well with my challenge for you.
Yeah, what this one is, man, this one kind of grossed me out with some of the some of the stuff that happened, and there was parts that was like sad, but it made my list because this movie was fucking awesome. All right, yeah, I'm going to hit you with the 2020 Nicolas Cage film Color Out of Space.
Okay.
And this is streaming on, that might be for another challenge. It's streaming on Shudder. So check that out. Yeah, Color Out of Space. Give me a reason to watch it again. I think I've seen it about five times already, but I'll definitely throw it in and watch it again. Color Out of Space is my challenge for you. Streaming on Shudder.
All right. And my challenge for you, I'm really excited to challenge you to this. This is Seungryo, or you could call it Space Sweepers, and this is streaming on Netflix. Don't look into it too much, but yeah, check it out. I can't wait to talk to you about it.
I saw about 45 minutes of this.
Well, finish it so we can challenge.
All right. they were watching it at work, and I was like, what is this? And so I sat there and I think it was from the beginning, but I saw 45 minutes of it. So,
well, interestingly, you could watch it in Korean, which I'm sure you will, subtitled, but you can actually interestingly turn on the dub. The dub's not bad, and interestingly, it's not complete either. They will still say things in German and Korean and everything. So it was definitely an interesting experience. And on top of that, you get when they do speak English, you still get the subtitle of what they were actually saying in Korean, and it doesn't always match up. So, but yeah, I'd really love to challenge you to this one.
They never match up when they dub them.
Right.
I mean, out of all the foreign films that I just watched a foreign film. I'll talk about it on the new episode. But if you want to see, listen, well, Brian and I did cover it for a Horror Returns bonus episode, but I'll bring it up on the regular show. But yeah, okay, I'll just have to finish it. I'm pretty sure I saw it from the beginning.
Yeah, throw it on. It's not that long. It's 2 hours, 16 minutes.
That's long. it's over 2 hours, almost three, 2.5 hours.
Just throw it on. Just throw it on.
I'll get into it when we talk about it. But
yeah.
All right.
let's talk about it.
yeah. All right. Yeah, Space Sweepers. But
Sungriho.
Color Out of Space, man. Be ready for it.
All right.
Don't break it up and oh, I'll watch it. No, you gotta watch it all in one. Watch it all in one take.
One go.
Because there is a lot, and if Jade wants to brave it, go for it.
She's shaking her head.
Yeah, it might be a little too much for her. It might be too much for her, but oh man, I loved it. It made my list. That movie was awesome. It was definitely up my alley. So I know it ain't up your alley, but yeah, that's my challenge for you.
All right, cool. Yeah, hopefully we can come back a little sooner. I always like to knock out the challenges as efficient as we can. We still got Love Society on deck, though, too. We're already on that. We just need to do it.
Yeah, we got that one coming. So I challenge the ZC to Color Out of Space. It's streaming on Shudder. I think Amazon Prime as well, but I'm not sure. Netflix is this a Netflix original or is it just something that they just bought and are showing it?
Yeah, it's under Netflix. They bought it, but it wasn't made just for Netflix. But yeah, it's like they bought it. It was interesting too after finishing watching. We can get more into this later. I don't want to get into anything about what it's about, but just saying when it was finished. It was interesting, all the Korean stuff that they offered me to watch, including the show I know you love, Kingdom. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting to see how much actually stuff they have like this on Netflix.
There's a bunch of Korean stuff on there.
Right.
So,
much.
I watched... I'm sure there's more. There's a lot of Korean horror, which I love. So that's...
Right.
Pretty much majority of Korean stuff I watched. It all came out on the same day, February 5th of this year. So it's a new film. Great. I thought it was something that came out last year. Well, last year in Korea. But all right, Space Sweepers for me and Color Out of Space for the Zsu here.
Yep.
Love Society is coming. We just got to sit down and do it. What did you watch?
For Love Society?
Yeah.
Lovebirds and Someone Great.
I watched Dingle and Douche or whatever that show was called.
Well, no, hold on.
4 hours.
Save your...
I can never remember the title. I just remember it was two names. the hell was it? Dashing someone. I can't remember, but yeah, we'll get to that. And
Jane's ready for your review. She's like, I quit.
we'll go into it. What was Dash and who? What was the other name?
Lily. Yeah.
See, I remember, I knew it was a D. That's why I always say douche or whatever. But I knew that, what it was. And that really quick, that just made me want to go to New York. But hopefully I can get back over there again.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
When everything calms down.
We'll get into it fully.
Yeah, we will. We'll definitely bring that one to you guys pretty quick. So, but yeah, again, Space Sweepers for me and Color Out of Space for the Zsu. Space Sweepers is Netflix. Color Out of Space is on Shudder. And yeah, we'll be back really soon for Love Society 3. Yeah. Is that what it is? 3?
I think believe so. Yes, yeah, you got Love it. Society. You got it.
Oh, this is episode 28, I believe, of Up to the Challenge. Yes, it is. Episode 28. I had to look.
Hey, came together in the end.
Yeah, I had to look it up really quick, but yeah. Everyone, we got the regular show coming pretty soon.
Yes.
What's his name? Taylor and I, we just recorded a Blu-ray update. So you can go over to Anchor and listen to that. And yeah, see, it's late, everyone. We're tired. Yep. My brain's going. So, but everyone, thank you so much for listening. Come back really soon for a regular episode as well as Love Society. Yep. And we got to keep going with the Love Society. So I think I found one for Jade to watch, something old. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to talk about it once we get past that next one. But everyone, again, thank you so much for listening. Come back and listen to more of us, and just be safe out there. So until then, party on.
Yep, thanks everyone. Can't wait to get back and record more, especially all these challenges. So until next time, have fun, be safe, and stay up to the challenge.